came a long way to see what I can get from him. I came a long way to see what I can get from him. I came and the man said, look, let me tell you what happened. He said, the old man had a clause. He said, whoever gets the son gets the whole estate. So what I'm trying to tell you is that if you can get the son, you can get what you need. If you can get the son, you already got it all. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? I say, have you tried him? Do you know he's able? Do you have the son? Do you have the son? I got the whole estate. Won't he bless you? Say yes. I may not know three things. I may not even know two things. But one thing I know is that I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? I said, if you know he's all right, you ought to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I may not know a whole lot, but one thing I know is I know he's all right. Ain't the Lord all right? I say, ain't the Lord all right? Won't he bless you? Won't he give you joy in the midst of sorrow? Won't God be with you? Won't he be a heart fixer and a mind regulator? Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Yeah. Come on and say yeah. Say yes. I feel pretty good now. Come on and preach with me. I say, won't God bless you? Do you have any moments? I had somebody hit me up on Facebook and say, Pastor, won't he, won't he? I immediately knew what they were saying. They say, God bless them. Won't he do it? Come on and say, yeah. I like to ask this question every now and then. I like to ask the people that won't he, won't he? And do you have any won't he, won't he moments? Oh, come on and say yes. As I look back over my life and I look at where I come from, it makes me say, won't he, won't he? When I came from 10 children, not having my own bed, we were in a three-bed house. Come on and say yeah. When I look at what God has done, I say, won't he, won't he? When I look at hanging clothes on the line and I got a dry and a wash up in my own house, I say, won't he, won't he? When I look at how we took a bath, sometime in dishwashing liquid, sometime in washing powder, but I look back over my life and I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. I look back over my life when all my friends were riding and I'm still riding a bicycle. I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? Say yes. Anybody here have some won't he, won't he moments? I look back over my life and I look at what people took me through, how I tried to help them and they turned around and hurt me. And I looked at what God did after they did what they hurt me. God turned around and healed me. And I say, won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? So let me sum it up. Every time I turn around, the Lord, anybody know the Lord, keeps on blessing me. Say yeah, say yeah, yeah, yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm done now, but I want to ask you a question one last time. And if you got some moments, I wish you would stand on your feet and say, won't he, won't he with me? I got some moments in my life, but won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? I looked at my family. Somebody say yes. And I looked at what we've been through, but God's still keeping us. Mama's gone, but we still love each other. Won't he, won't he? Won't he, won't he? I look over my life and say, look at where I've been. And when I took a job, and then I said I had nowhere to go, I quit that job. And God called me the same day and said, I got something else for you. Won't he, won't he? Something else he gave me is so much greater than what I left. If you have faith. Won't he? Say yes. I look at my life. I remember just last year around Christmas Eve. Couldn't be with my family. I was over at the hospital sitting there with an IV in my arm. But this Christmas time, I was with my family. I said, won't he? Anybody here? I say, anybody here? I don't know how you feel about him, but I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Let him talk about you, but he's all right. Let him lie on you, but he's all right. Let the devil attack your body, but he's still all right. Let him crucify you, but he's all right. Say he's all right. Crucify you, but say yeah. I know he's all right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm trying to quit here. But when I goodness of Jesus, it's all that he's for me. My soul cries out that he's not making it. They said, I won't cry today, but I'm here to tell you. They said, I made a way. God appeared the door that was closing your face.
We know your hearts are drawn with interest. That's the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Al Torrey, Oklahoma. Our church is located at 1401 Wellman Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box. Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana 71411. Our service time is 9:46 a.m. Sunday morning worship. Our Bible study on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Torrey Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life and today.
2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 3. Recorded are these words. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of God's holy word. Our message today is in the form of a question. Why must Christians suffer? Why must Christians suffer? Why, another word would be, why do the righteous suffer? Why do those who are called by God, those who have a calling on their lives, those who are anointed and appointed by God, why must we suffer? What's interesting is Paul, in this second letter to the church at Corinth, seeks to answer the question that seems to start in Job and run all the way through the book of Revelation in one form of another or another, asking the question, why must the righteous suffer? And I think, brothers and sisters, honestly speaking, if we can honestly hear and see in the Word of God why we have to go through what we go through, I think it would be helpful for us to understand that our sufferings is not always connected to sin. Our suffering is not always connected with faults. Our suffering is not always connected with self. I've said to you and suggested on many occasions that sometimes what you go through, and it's revealed in the text, is not just for you, but for others. But God knew that you could do it, that you could take it, that you could make it. So he allowed you so you could be an example, so you could be one that others in the earth realm, in the natural realm, could see and follow through their sufferings as you have walked through your sufferings. So the first thing we know to answer the question that is before us, why must the Christian, why must the righteous suffer? It is one, this, that we might comfort others. The first reason you need to know Paul answers this question in helping us understand why we must suffer, it is so that we might comfort others. Now you say, well, how is my suffering going to comfort somebody else? Well, can I tell you, it makes all the difference in the world when somebody is counseling you, when they can tell you, I've been there, counseling you, and I've done that. I've been in your situation, and look, I made it. I know it looks dark, but I want you to know weeping may endure for a night, but joy, oh, I wish I had a witness in the house, cometh in the morning. Just hold on to the morning light. I know you get tired. I know you get wearied, and I know you're ready to let go and throw your hands up and say, I can't take it another day, but hold on. And see, it takes somebody who's been there, because the old folk used to put it this way, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. And it's very difficult sometimes to get that comes from the head to reach the heart. It's one thing to have knowledge. It's a whole nother thing to have experience. And when you've got somebody who's gone through some of the things that you're going through, you're more apt to hear them more clearly because they're speaking out of your concerns and not just to your concerns. The word comfort is used 10 times in verses 1 through 7, and it's because it is a powerful medium for us to understand. It is a powerful word to help us understand that the first reason why we suffer as Christians, as righteous folk, is not necessarily for ourselves, but to be able to comfort others. When we look back through the pages of Holy Writ and biblical antiquity, in the antiquity we see that Job, one of the greatest sufferers of the Lord our God, who was a righteous man. Matter of fact, God bragged on him. Job has become the epitome of suffering, of patience, of tribulation. And all of this was because of what he himself suffered. He did no wrong to bring on the suffering that came upon his life. And so that again brings us to know and helps us to understand that everything we go through isn't because we've done some wrong. It could very well be because we've done a lot of right. It very well may be because you're strong enough. God sees you worthy enough to go through something because you truly trust in him. As Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, one of the problems when we go through stuff, we get all choked up. And if we go through long enough, we get all mad. We get to running down the list of all the good we've done, all the people we've helped, and why am I going through this? Lord, I pay my tithes. You know, I come to Bible study. I, you know, go to prayer meeting. I do this. I do the other. And why is this happening to me? Well, I want all of us to understand, because here is an example for us to see. As a born-again believer, God loves you, and he loves you enough not to put more on you than you can bear. But he's also strategically placed you in places so that you, as a light that this world can see, can be the example that he wants for the world to see. So that as you go through whatever it is God allows you to go through, number one, you need to shout, because you're not just going to it, you're going through it. But secondly, not only should you shout, but you ought to show somebody that you ought not have to have a long face and be whining and crying all the while you're going through, because you know that this is only a test and it's only temporary. And God is not doing it to hurt you. God is doing it so that you can help others. And when you get the understanding of why you're dealing with some stuff that just don't make no sense, why you're having to suffer, why your heart has to hurt, why you have to deal with all you're going through, you need to know God's preparing you, because he's going to show somebody you. And when they see you, they're not just going to see you. They're going to see what you're going through. And when they see what you're going through and didn't stop and wasn't knocked down and kept down, but you got up and got out of that thing, you're going to be a bigger blessing than you ever knew you could be. Matter of fact, somebody will say, my soul looked back and wonder. I wish I had a helper in the house. How I got over. Because I know some things I've gone through I never should have made it through. I wish I had a witness for yourself. Have you ever been through something you didn't know how you were going to get out, when you were going to get out? Matter of fact, you were so long in it, you thought that was made just for you, and you never see the light of day. But oh, what a story you can tell now. What a testimony you have now. Because God allows your suffering to be able to comfort others. One of the things the word makes clear, when you talk about this word comfort, it literally means to be called to one side. This word comfort helps us to understand that when we suffer, our ability to comfort others means that we're called to one's side. Literally, to help guide them through. To help them understand what they can't understand now. To be able to minister to them in their concerns until they're brought out of their concerns. And so, understanding that, the Bible is very clear. Jesus used the same word in John 14 and 16. For the spirit of the comforter is called a paraclete. That's the one called alongside us. But he's not just called to walk on the side of us. He called to walk on the side of us and prop us up if we start leaning. See, it don't make no sense for you to walk on the side of me. If I get weak, I can't hold on to you. If I hold on to you and you fall down, you can't help me, but you're called to walk alongside me so that you can help me. Listen at this. Not harm me. Not hurt me. Not bring me down. But comfort me. And see, that's why you need to understand, when God sends you into a person's life or to a situation to comfort them, it is not so that you become an automatic judge. See, a whole lot of us think that when the Lord gives us opportunity to minister to folk, that that automatically means that when we've gone through some stuff and all the rest of it, like Job 3 friends did, that God is calling us to exercise judgment on the person. He don't need you to exercise no judgment on somebody he has called you to help. That's his job. But what he did do is judge you faithful to go there and stand on the side of them and encourage them. And when they got to the point where they needed you to prop them up, to help them, to lean them up, to be what they needed, it was so that you could do it because you have experienced it yourself. Now keep in mind, why is this so important? Because a lot of times you don't know why God has placed you as an assignment in somebody's life. Or giving somebody to your life as an assignment. You don't know why these folk just all of a sudden just attach themselves to you. Want to glean from you. You don't know what it is that God has so appointed them and anointed you to minister to them for. And it is, listen, most times to help comfort them because they see something in you that has inspired them.
Come on now, come on.
And so many times, my brothers and sisters, you've got to recognize that your sufferings and those things that have sorrowed your soul were not done just to be done, but so that you might be comforted first by the Lord, by the Spirit of God. And it's what Jesus told Peter when he told him, Peter, Simon, Satan had desired thee, and he desires to sift you as wheat. He wants to break you down till it ain't nothing left to be broken down. He says, but I prayed for you. Now he doesn't stop that. This is what else he goes on to tell him. He says, and when thou art converted, when you are strengthened, when you get it together, when you get up from your fall, when you wipe the tears from your eyes, when you can see clearly now, strengthen your brother. Because what he's literally saying is, you're not the first and you're not going to be the last. And I'm going to show you some folk that's going through what you've been through. But just like you came through it, you can show them they can make it also. My brothers and sisters, that's one of the comforting things of fellowship with the believers. We've come through a grueling week of going through situation after situation, circumstance after circumstance. Don't you think it's a blessing when you can get to the house of God, fellowship with some brothers and sisters who made it just like you made it, and one can comfort the other and share with the other and fellowship with the other and help inspire you to make it another week more? Because they too have understood, discovered, and realized that the first point of being comforted themselves is to be put in a position and place to be a comfort to others. That's why it's important that you be a witness. That's why it's important that you share your testimony. That's why it's important that you be used and utilized of the Spirit of God to minister, especially to another brother or sister who may be going through. You know, so many times God puts people on your heart and your spirit, and just to let them know, brother, I'm praying for you. Sister, I'm praying for you. You ain't got to be trying to get all in their business. You can just say, listen, you know, the Spirit dropped you in my heart, and I just want you to know I'm standing praying. But if you ever need to talk, I'm here. You know, I mean, because what you got to realize, how many times did you wish someone could be there for you? See your agony and pain, and you didn't have to go beg them to ask for help, but yet they were able and sensitive by the Spirit to see you in that place and sincerely prayed for you and came next to you to support you while you go through what you're going through. Here's what you got to realize. You can't do it for them. Know this, you cannot get to the point where you think you can go through whatever they're going through for them. The best you can do is comfort them while they're going through. Because listen, the lesson is for them. Did you hear what I just said? The lesson, you can't get to the point where you're so desirous of removing every point of pain and every circumstance of sorrow from their lives that they miss the lesson. Because once they go through the lesson, then God will bring the blessing. But they have got to finish it for themselves. But how many have wanted to quit, and how many have given up before they learn the lesson? And just like in school, when you do not meet the requirements to pass to the next grade, you are subject to repeat it again. Yes, sir. And so if you're wondering why you're still going through the same thing over and over, just when it gets to the point where you're about to break through and get out that thing, you give up. Say, Lord, say, well, you gave up and walked out on the class. You're going to have to repeat this again. And you're like, no, Lord, not again. Yes, again. And that's why we have so many old folk in elementary school. Yes. Old believers who ought to have been far past that, ought to be in postgraduate work. See, you don't just get past because you've been in the church for 50 years. Because that ain't going to help you. Because what it does is magnify and intensifies the frustration when you get to another level and can't handle the work. Lord, I wish I had a witness here. You know, it's kind of hard and it's kind of difficult to go through tests, but there is a purpose for tests, and it is so that you may learn and be strengthened thereby and be able to apply the principles so that you can profit in life. So just to pass you, to get you to the next grade because you old, don't help you none. That's why I don't care nothing about folks sitting in church talking about, well, he ain't preached today, but I can tell you one thing, I taught you something. You might not have shouted today, but when you learn that lesson and walk in victory in your life, you're going to say, praise the Lord. Pastor shared that word. Now I know how to handle this situation. And you can shout when I ain't nowhere around. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so you ought to understand there is grace in suffering for the believer so that he or she may be able to comfort others. But again, when you look at this word, and let's go back in this word, because verse 4 says, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Who comforted us in all our tribulation. As a righteous believer, you need to know there's nothing you're going through that God's not going to comfort you in. Nothing you're dealing with, God's not going to bring you through. Nothing you go into, God's not going to bring you out of. Because the word is clear, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Now here's again the purpose, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now look at how all is a companion to any. See, when you've been through it all, you can help anybody. Y'all not hearing me here. See, if you can only stay in one area, then you're only limited to helping folk in that one area. But that's why God allows myriads of opportunities of suffering and trouble and trials and tribulation. You're like, that person is one thing. And see, that's the way it is, literally. As a babe, God gives you one thing. And as you master the one thing, he gives you a break. And then the next thing comes. And then you master that thing, and you put that under your belt. But then the next time, the break isn't as long. And here comes another thing. And then you master that thing, and he put that under your belt. And then right behind that one comes another test. And then you master that, and you put that under your belt. And then another thing comes, and before you finish mastering that, here another one comes. Then he starts multitasking you in the suffering arena. And before you know it, it's this and that and this and that. And before you know it, you've gotten all of this stuff that you're going through. But here is the operative word. You ain't going to stop in it because he's with you. His desire. desire is to comfort you, so while you're learning how to go through, you can get some comfort before you get out. Tell somebody, you ain't got to wait till the battle is over to start shouting. You ain't got to wait till you're through to be able to have a party. You can give him praise anyhow. Oh, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so when you see God allowing so many different things to hit your life, here is the word, that he has been able to comfort you in all tribulations.